Hello, medical sales rep. Are you crushing it in the territory today? Well, I hope so. But if not, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about how things can be improved. Hello, this is Mace Haroff, and welcome to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the podcast for medical sales professionals. And you are here to learn some things about what's going on in the high-performance world of medical sales, and I'm going to share that with you. Now, today I'm going to talk about something that might seem rudimentary, but yet it's very, very important because even as a seasoned medical sales professional, you're still going to have new customers that move into your territory, people who you may not have had the opportunity to develop a relationship with over time. So this is important stuff, and a little review doesn't hurt. Would you agree with me on that? Because if you're like me, from time to time, you forget stuff. Although I don't forget a lot of stuff when it comes to selling because I teach this stuff to people like you. So this has to do with building relationships with your customers. Now, you might think you're an expert on this, and time will tell whether you are or not. In fact, if you have great relationships with your customers, fantastic. If you're just starting out and you think your relationships could be better, also fantastic. But I want to speak to those of you who really think, hey, you know, I've got this relationship thing managed. I've been doing this for a while. I'm pretty good at it. You're the ones I really want to listen, because here's something that I've noticed after 33 years in this industry. Are relationships still important? Absolutely. A lot of people like to say, people who are in medical sales, that is, that medical sales is a relationship business. That is not as true as it used to be, and it's becoming less important all the time, the relationship that is. Yet, it's always a good idea to have good relationships with your customers. Why? Because it gives you access to them. It makes things easier. It might not help you necessarily to close a sale, for example, if you have a great relationship with a surgeon, for example, and the real buyer is the hospital, but it will help in terms of getting that customer to go to bat for you. It gives you the access, and you're more comfortable asking for certain things like, could you talk to the administrator and see if you could push this through? Would you do that for me? So, relationships are important, but is a good relationship essential? No. A good relationship is not essential to your success in medical sales. And I'm going to talk about that another time. But as I just said, relationships help. What's changing a lot is the way that relationships are created and nurtured. You see, a lot of reps think that relationships, especially when you're starting out, they're predicated on social interaction. For example, reps are taught to look for commonalities. For example, if you go into a doctor's office and you notice that the doctor is a golfer, well, then you talk golf with the doctor. That is a strategy that might work, but these days it rarely works. And here's why. If you go into a busy surgeon's office, a busy physician's office, or heck, any healthcare provider, their time is valuable. They're busy people. So this person is willing to give you a few moments of their valuable time. They're doing this because they're expecting that what you're going to share with them is also going to be valuable. So if you sit down, they're giving you some of their valuable time. They stop seeing patients. They stop going through records. They stop working on that proposal that they have to submit for the budget. And you start talking about golf. Whoa, not a really smart move. Now, once you've covered business, if you want to talk about that or at another time in the right milieu, not a problem. It's best if the customer shows a willingness to want to move forward with a discussion about something which is non-essential to the practice of medicine or healthcare or to which brings you to their office in the first place. But if you immediately default to talking about golf, or the Olympics, or the Super Bowl, or any of those things, they might be willing to talk about it, but the next time you come in and you want to speak to them, you know what that person's thinking? Well, you know, the last time Sally was here, what did we talk about? Oh, yeah, we talked about the Patriots. I could care less about the Patriots. Tell Sally I'm busy. You see what's happening here? So the basis of relationships have changed. Don't be so eager to go in there and start talking about commonalities, because that shows a lack of respect with time. What about other social interactions, such as let's have dinner or let's get together for lunch? It's good when it can happen. But here's the thing. A lot of times when you're asking someone who you really don't know for dinner or for lunch, it may or may not feel forced to them. In other words, they know the reason that you're doing that is to try and leverage some business. And for example, if a surgeon goes out to lunch with you, he or she probably recognizes that you're going to be talking about your product. For a lot of surgeons, their lunch is either productive time where they'll do paperwork or they will review charts or surgical procedures or whatever. You know, for others, it's a time to relax. So spending time with a sales rep who's trying to hammer them on buy my product, may not be the way that he or she wants to go. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't make the invitation as long as it conforms with all of the compliance rules that you've been instructed on from your company, and it complies with AdvaMed rules if your company subscribes to the AdvaMed guidelines. But there are still other things that you could do which will be more effective in building that relationship. And you know, one of those things really is about letting the customer be the expert. You see, here's what happens. So many sales reps, their ego gets in the way. And it's normal. No one knows your product like you do, hopefully. Hopefully. I mean, you better know your product better than your customers, but you really are the expert on your product. So a lot of sales representatives, when they get in front of the customer, they really assume the expert personality. You know, doctor, I'm very familiar with the procedure you do. I am an expert on it. I am also an expert on how to use my product to get better results. I can solve all of your problems. How do you think this is going to be perceived? I mean, really, you're probably sensing it's not going to be received real well. But let me remind you again, when you are meeting with a surgeon or any other healthcare professional, who perceives himself as the expert? Granted, it might be you, but who really is the expert on that specialty or in this area? It's the customer. If you're talking to a surgeon, without question, the surgeon is the expert on surgery. Whatever type of surgery he or she practices, he or she is the expert. It's not you. You see, when a surgeon is talking to you or any healthcare provider, they're thinking, I'm the healthcare expert. You're the sales rep. Expert, sales rep. You see what's going on here? You have to let the experts be the experts. Now, I learned this the hard way. Really hard way. You see, I got into medical sales in kind of a roundabout way. After college, I went to graduate school. I entered a PhD program in anatomy. I loved anatomy. When I studied comparative anatomy and embryology undergraduate, I loved it. And I wanted more. I really, really thought I wanted to be an anatomy professor. I did want to be an anatomy professor. So I went into this PhD program, and what I discovered was if you had a PhD in some discipline of the medical science or in a lot of academics, you got to teach maybe one quarter or one semester out of the year. The rest of the time, you were expected to do research and compete for grant money. There was a lot of pressure to compete for grant money. So when I started my research rotations, I realized, ooh, I don't like this. I don't like being alone in a laboratory with rats. I'd rather be out with rats in the real world. You know, at least those rats I can talk to and socialize with. But rats in the laboratory, they were kind of boring. And when I realized that, you know, up to 75% of my life was going to be doing research, not necessarily with rats, but in a laboratory, I decided that graduate school wasn't for me. So I left graduate school with a 4.0 average. I knew anatomy. I even got to teach medical students, physical assistant, PA students, physical therapy students. I got to teach them anatomy. This was really cool. So do you think I felt like I knew something about anatomy? I also worked after graduate school, and even before graduate school, I worked as a pathology assistant at a local hospital where I went to graduate school. And I used to assist with autopsies, and I used to process surgical specimens. I had a vast knowledge of pathology, of really understanding diseases, because I had done it for years. So suddenly, I was faced in my first medical sales job. I'm going to cut to the chase here because I could go on and on, and I don't want to bore you. You didn't come here to hear about me. I apologize for that. But when I got into my first medical sales job, I said, hey, listen, you know, and I got into it by accident. The company I was with was looking to hire some medical sales professionals, and these medical sales professionals wanted a lot of money. And a good medical sales professional, I now know, is very worth it. But these were medical sales professionals, medical sales reps, really, who were looking for a six-figure guarantee. And this was some time back when, $100,000 was a lot of money. It's still a lot of money. Let's be honest. It's not an amount you'll give for a tip in most scenarios. So I said to my boss, I said, hey, you know, they want all that money. Listen, I have a lot of expert level knowledge in anatomy, pathology, healthcare. Let me go out and talk to these guys. I can sell to them. So he said, yeah, sounds good. Go ahead and give it a try. So I went out and started talking to physicians. I was mainly at this time selling this product to cardiologists. And I approached them like I was an equal, thinking, you know, hey, I could speak your language. And I got up there and started to talk about the anatomy and the pathology and the physiology, and really started to talk to them like I was one of them. Guess how that worked? Not very well. You see, they're the expert. I'm the sales rep. It's not like I predicated, well, you know, look, I've done undergraduate level studies in anatomy and physiology, and I have a 4.0 average. You know, none of that stuff matters to a healthcare physician. You know what matters? Can you make my world better? Can you solve my problems? Can you contribute something of value to my practice and my day and my patients? Because if not, get the hell out of here. They might not say it, but that's what they're thinking. Okay, so, and the other thing they're thinking is, who the hell do you think you are to tell me how I should practice medicine? You didn't go to medical school. It doesn't say MD or DO after your name. You are a sales rep. You see, this is something which is big. Let the experts be the expert. So this is about building relationships. And how can you build relationship with an expert? Well, a great way to build relationship with an expert is by not only letting that person be the expert, but by exploiting that expertise and the ego which surrounds that expertise. You see, if you're talking to a surgeon or a physician and you approach them not as an expert or an equal, but if you approach them as, hey, I have a question for you. Could you explain to me how this works? Could you teach me? What have you just done? You've just deferred to their expertise. You've placed them a level above you. You've made them feel like the expert. You've acknowledged that you know that they are the expert. And I've found that a lot of physicians and other healthcare professionals really like to teach when given the opportunity to teach, because they like being the expert. They like to share the knowledge and experience that they've acquired over the years and have gone through many learning curves to achieve that level of expertise and experience. So asking them to teach you is a great way. And it's also an opportunity for you to learn. When you learn from a physician, it's much different than when you're learning from the trainer at your company. Sure, the trainer at your company can provide you with great information about the product and what a doctor is likely to say or how he or she is likely to respond. But when you get it from, if you'll pardon the expression, the horse's mouth, to use a cliche, it has so much more meaning, and you can really delve deep. You could really ask questions. If you're talking about a surgical procedure, you could say, well, you know, what happens if you take this approach? You know, if instead of tying off the artery, you just clamp it and cauterize it, how would that make a difference? you develop a much deeper level of knowledge. But at the same time, you're showing this customer that you have a real interest in learning so that you can serve your customers better, including this particular customer. Asking your customers to teach you is a great, great way to really develop that relationship in a way that they will admire you. You know, I remember before I left full-time selling, I had the opportunity to call on one of the surgeons who taught me early in my career. And, you know, I let him know, I said, you know, thank you so much for what you taught me early on, because it provided the basis that really allowed me to go out and make sales calls on your colleagues with a high level of confidence. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And he said to me, he said, you know, you were always interested. You showed the ability to ask the right questions. And the thing that impressed me, Mace, was that you wanted to know, you wanted to learn more, and you were willing to ask the questions instead of trying to just show off. That resonated with me. So I hope that this little conversation here on the Medical Sales Guru podcast has resonated with you. And let me share one other thing with you. You know, there's so much that I talk about here, but at the end of the day, your ability to sell to your customers, to convert business, to steal money from your, steal money and business from your competition has to do with not only your work habits. You got to have great work habits. You got to be willing to get out there earlier, work later. And when you don't feel like making the sales call, you just got to go and do it. It has a lot to do with that. But if your skills aren't up to speed when you're making all those sales calls and getting in front of customers, you're wasting a lot of valuable time, or you're not using it to its maximum effectiveness. That's what I want to talk to you about, is how to maximize your performance in your territory. I've had the privilege, and I still have the privilege, of going out there and working with awesome medical device companies, pharmaceutical companies, durable medical equipment companies, and to help them with their sales performance. But over the years, you know, it occurred to me, because people would call, smaller distributorships would call, you know, who only had, you know, maybe 5 to 10 people, even distributorships who have one, you know, they have the distributor and then one other employee, but things aren't working real well and they need some help. I've never been able to help them because they couldn't afford to bring me in. You know, to bring in a full-time consultant like me can be expensive for a small company, even though the ROI is huge. So I created something called Medical Sales Academy to address this need. Medical Sales Academy is an online training and support site. It's a membership site that you can get access to for a full year. And it goes through everything that I teach my corporate clients. But it also gives you the advantage to interface with me and other people through an online forum and live monthly webinars where you can ask questions about anything. And, you know, I'll for example, show you how to stop being seen as a commodity and how to sell like the top 1% of medical sales professionals in the industry so you're able to convert business consistently. Now, we only open enrollment to Medical Sales Academy just a few times each year. Right now, it's not open, but if you, well, it depends on when you're listening to this, but if you'd like to be notified of the next enrollment, get out your cell phone and text Notify MSA, all one word, that's NOTIFYMSA, and watch out for any crazy things that spell check does. Text Notify MSA to 44222. Notify MSA 44222. If you do that, you'll get a message back asking for your email. Send in your email. You're all set. We'll let you know when it opens again. And I promise you, Medical Sales Academy will make a huge difference for you as you move forward in your medical sales career. And it's for medical sales representatives of all levels, not just the people who are coming in. Although if you're just coming into medical sales, I got to be honest with you. I know what's in here. I know what it could do. I think you'd be a fool not to take advantage of this. And it comes with a money back guarantee. You could try it for 14 days. If it's not for you, you'll get your money back. But work on your skills. Make sure they're up to par and keep them sharp. Because when you do that, not only will you be able to develop great relationships with your customer, nope, you will also be able to close business, take it from your competition, rise in the ranks in your company. Good things happen when you're in medical sales and you sell a bunch. So thanks so much for spending some time with me on this week's Medical Sales Guru podcast. I'm Mace Haroff. I appreciate your time and commitment. Remember that whatever you do in your medical sales career, nothing is more important than who? The patient. That's right. The patient, my friends, always comes first. I would appreciate it if you would go over to iTunes and the currency for this free podcast that you listen to really is helping me to get the word about what I do out to others and getting word about the podcast. So if you could go over to iTunes and just leave me a quick review, it'll take you about 30 seconds. I would greatly appreciate it. For the Medical Sales Guru podcast again, I am Mace Haroff. Go out and do something great, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye for now.